your heads with me this morning. Lord Jesus, we come before you, and we thank you that you are present here with us, that you desire to do your holy work amongst us. You call us your sheep of your fold, and Lord, certainly we are that. We are your sheep. Lord, direct us, convince us, and hold us close to you today as we come in this healing service to experience your grace and your mercy upon each one of us. Lord, we pray today that you would bring healing amongst us. Lord, we pray today that your name would be glorified. We take this admonition through this song today that we would know you more than anything else, more than anything we could desire of you. Lord, we desire you. So we pray, Lord Jesus, come and meet with us, commune with us. Hear our anxious prayers towards you. Bring us strength and bring us peace. Peace that not the world giveth, but only that you give. Lord Jesus, we pray for that kind of peace in the days of trial, the days of difficulty, the days of struggle with health and with conflict, with turbulence in our day, where the world is rife with all kinds of problems and difficulties that we hear on the news day in and day out. Lord, we pray that you would strengthen us to live for you, that our eyes would be totally upon you as Peter. His eyes were on you as he stepped out of the boat and walked upon the water. Only when his eyes drifted up towards the storm clouds and the raging sea about him did he begin to sink. Lord, keep us from sinking. Keep us from depending upon ourselves and seeing all that is around us in way of turbulence and ill. But Lord, help us to keep our eyes focused upon you. You say the eyes of faith, Lord, will move mountains. We will be able to say to this tree, be moved and be cast into the sea, and it will be done for us. Lord, what amazing testimony you give in your word of things that are impossible for us, but yet very possible for you. So we come to you today and pray over the needs here of your flock, your sheep. Lord, as we come to you, we pray that you would anoint us with your Holy Spirit. As we anoint ones that come forward with the oil that you tell us to in James chapter 5. We commit ourselves to hearing your voice, your shepherd's voice to us. And we pray, Lord, that you would indeed work within us and work so that we would be strong and healthy for doing your will, your good, perfect, and pleasing will. Lord, we pray and commit ourselves to doing just that as we listen to your word this morning, proclaimed from Genesis to Malachi to Revelations. Lord, strengthen your sheep today. We pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Please be seated. If you have your bulletins in hand, I'd have you turn to that first couple of chapters of Genesis. Genesis chapter 2 and 3, talking about Adam and Eve in the fall, as we begin the message this morning, talking about healing and judgment. Healing and judgment. A glass is accidentally dropped and shatters on the floor. Young fingers fumble over a toy and push it beyond its breaking point. Fabric is torn in two. A misstep sends one sprawling into the mud, marring, ripping, cracking, spilling. Damage happens and loss is affected upon us. Glue, nails, soap and water can wash away and repair some of the brokenness, depending on its severity, of course. Repairs take effect, and a careful eye for detail can remove a blemish, can remove a fault or a defect. The phrase, good as new, is the crowning accomplishment of a prayer, repair well done. Then it comes to our body. We experience illness, sickness, disease, trauma, demon oppression, demon possession. These are all accorded to us in the scriptures, that these are the ills of mankind. These are results of the fall, the sin that was experienced by our first progenitors, Adam and Eve, in the garden so long ago. God said as a consequence for sin that mankind would experience death. But thankfully, God also extended grace in promising a Redeemer that would heal, that would bring life to us. At the beginning of the Bible, in the book of Genesis, there is judgment, but there is also grace. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 17, we read these words. But you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat from it, you will certainly die. Then in chapter 3, verse 21, we read these words, words of grace. The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. And the Lord God said, the man has now become like one of us, knowing good and evil. He must not be allowed to reach out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever. At the end of the Old Testament in the book of Malachi, we also see judgment and grace. You turn to that last chapter in the book of Malachi, chapter 4, and we read at verse 1 and 2, there, surely the day is coming. It will burn like a furnace, and all the arrogant and every evildoer will be stubble, and the day that is coming will set them on fire, says the Lord Almighty. Not a root or a branch will be left to them. But for you who revere my name, the Sun of Righteousness will rise with healing in its rays, and you will go out and frolic like well-fed calves. I like that, well-fed calves, don't you? Frolicking joy for those that know the rays of righteous mercy upon us. Then in Revelations 22, verse 2 and 3, we read these words. Down the middle of a great street of the city, on each side of the river stood a tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are not for the and the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be a curse. The throne of God and the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. Amen and amen. God thankfully, lovingly, generously, compassionately, mercifully upon us gives us grace in the midst of judgment. Though we be guilty, though we have heaviness, though we have sin, though we have disease, God comes and heals. Well, let's look back to these first section of judgment in Genesis, again, chapter 3, talking about those garments that were sewn together for Adam and Eve because they knew because of eating the tree of good and evil that they had taken of that fruit and realized that indeed they were naked. And so God graciously covers their nakedness. Life in the garden was very much like heaven. Everything was perfect. And if Adam and Eve had lived in obedience to God, they would have continued in that heavenly state in direct and amazing relationship with the Lord God. But as it was, they rebelled against God and his commandment regarding that tree in the middle of the garden, you shall not eat thereof, and the day that you eat thereof, you shall die. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil was not evil in itself, but it was in the act of rebellion from man's own inner core that sin came upon humanity. The tree was not the source. Man was the source. Again, in Genesis 2:17, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. The command was simply, do not eat. A simple command, an easy command, don't eat. Yet the fruit is plucked, the fruit is eaten, and sin has its birth in the grasp of Eve and then of Adam. Man's sinfulness provides him with death. Man was explicitly commanded not to eat, but yet decided to go ahead anyway. In this way, through one man, physical death is perpetrated upon all of humanity. But yet in Romans 5, 12 and 17, we hear something of grace in way of death and way of judgment. Adam's death has come upon all men, but through death also redemption has come through one man. While death is tragic and the enemy of God's perfect creation, the same curse of death is also what allows Christ, the incarnate one, to die for the sins of all of us, all of humanity. Through one man comes sin, through another man comes the redemption of all of humanity. Through Christ, judgment and death is brought upon his person, upon a tree yet again, upon a cross. He bleeds, he dies for us. A tree delivers a fruit to Adam and Eve. A tree also delivers life in way of Jesus Christ for us, if we believe, if we trust. What amazing irony, is it not? Through Christ, all who believe in him would one day be redeemed, resurrected, and restored to perfect union with God himself. God will create a new heaven, a new earth, and death itself will be destroyed forever. There'll be no need for death any longer. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 26. So in the very judgment of God and the very curse of God, through the very act and consequence of death upon humanity, we experience a great love of God again through Jesus Christ and through the redemption that God plans for us. Healing and light is recorded for us in Malachi chapter 4 and 3. This morning. So again, I get you to flip back in your Bibles or forward in your Bibles to chapter 4 of Malachi. Again, looking there at verses 1 and 2 and following. Again, I want to read that section at verse 2. But for you who revere my name, and the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its rays, and you will go out and frolic like well-fed calves. Amazing testimony of what God delivers on our behalf. Scholars have debated how this reference could be in way of the millennial, future-looking, or towards messianic understandings of this being a prophecy of Jesus Christ. Well, it could be that both are in view here. In way, first of all, we see Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, and his testimony of Jesus and the son that he would bring forth, and John the Baptist would indeed form the way, the light, that Jesus would be able to be seen and be known. We see this in Luke chapter 1, verse 77 and 79. It says, to give his people the knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins because of the tender mercy of our God, with which the sunrise from on high shall visit us to shine upon those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace, speaking of what John will initiate in way of smoothing the way for Jesus and who Jesus is as the great Messiah and Redeemer of our souls. The link is certainly messianic. It has at least four implications for us this morning. First of all, the first being the Son of Righteousness brings light into our darkness. Light into our darkness. The blessing of salvation, the beginning moment we trust in Jesus Christ, that darkness is dissipated by the light of God's redemption through his Son, Jesus Christ. Then it grows brighter and brighter with our understanding as we enter more fully into understanding what Jesus Christ has indeed done for us in giving himself for us. Outside of Christ, the world lives in spiritual darkness, blinded to the truth of God's word in Acts 26:18, recorded there. Only Christ can unblind eyes. Jesus made the bold claim in John 8:12, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in the darkness, but shall have the light of life. John 8:12. When Jesus shines in our darkness, suddenly there is a bright light that we can see and understand our spiritual need of God and his blessing upon our lives. Then also the Son of Righteousness brings healing, here recorded in Malachi. The darkness of Satan's domain brings spiritual sickness and death to the human race. Yet the warmth of the rays of the Son of Righteousness brings restoration and healing. Wings here is a poetic language for the rays of righteousness from God himself. One of the devil's lies is that we get satisfaction out of evil, out of sin. But the opposite is true, is it not? We don't gain satisfaction out of our sin. We only gain darkness and death and illness and disease. When righteousness is restricted, sin abounds. Sin always brings evil with it. Yet righteousness heals and restores, and blesses. Thirdly, the Son of Righteousness restores hope to us. Outside of Jesus Christ and the salvation he brings, there is no hope. One of the most depressing phrases in the Bible is Paul's description of an unbeliever's understanding. They have no hope and are without God in the world. Ephesians 2:12. But when the Son of Righteousness rises within the hearts of those that believe, he brings wonderful hope and eternal life and complete and utter healing at the end of days. Fourth, the Son of Righteousness brings joy. You will go forth and skip like calves from the stall. I love that image. I actually Googled calves skipping. And on YouTube, I found, I was going to show it this morning, but for the lack of time, I thought I better dispense of it. But it showed these cows coming out of a barn they had been housed in for 3 months and into a field of green pasture. And these big cows just started prancing and jumping around in this field. You'd think, how would cows be able to do that? But if you feel so inspired, I encourage you, go look at YouTube, Google cows jumping in grass, and you'll see it there. It's an amazing thing, you know, but if you're penned up for a couple months in a barn, and all you're seeing is four walls, and then all of a sudden you're let out into this lush green pasture, we would jump for joy. And this is the image that is given for us, for the sons of righteousness as the rays are reflected upon us, as God's plan is unfolded from the tree of the knowledge of death in the garden, and then the eternal life tree there pictured, and then following up with these branches and roots that are talked about, and then the rays of righteousness in Malachi to the end of the book of Revelations. These trees all fulfill the image of Christ's great plan for us. It's not a life of death and disease and struggle, but rather life and joy and celebration. The angel announced at the birth of Christ to the shepherds, saying, "I bring you good news of great joy," in Luke 2:10. So the Son of Righteousness brings light where there was darkness, healing where there was disease, hope where there is despair, and joy where there is sadness. Finally, the tree of life in Revelation 22. Again, flipping in your Bible to that last book, last chapter of the book of Revelation. At verse 2 again, it says, "Down the middle of the great street of the city, on each side of the river stood a tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree are for the healings of the nations." This tree of life is like the life that is given in the Garden of Eden. God banishes a couple from the garden to stop them from eating for the tree of life, that indeed redemption not be able to be carried out, because his plan is that through death, life would ensue. But here in the final chapter, there is forgiveness of sin through the blood of Christ. There is no more brokenness or sin, so humanity is able to eat freely of the tree of life. Eternal life is possessed by all. The leaves of the tree for the healings of the nations. We know that Jesus has the power to heal. There are dozens of testimonies of healing power in the Gospels. We also know that after the Holy Spirit was dispensed, the power that was evidenced in Pentecost through the flames that were alighting upon the disciples and the believers' heads were testimony of God's continuing work in the church, that God would continue to do works and mighty works amongst his people and continue to give testimony of the truth and the reality of those things proclaimed in the gospel. Today, the church still testifies of people being healed physically through supernatural power of the Holy Spirit, of her testimony of more than those who have experienced physical healing. The healings of the nations, more than mere physical healings, is a mix of healings for governments, for fixing that which is socially broken amongst us, where corruption and conflict and sin in individuals and society and government's life will be healed. The leaves are a healing for the nations. God intends us to fix us not only individually, but in way of social systems and governance. This indeed is God's kingdom come upon us, and we pray that prayer. Father, Father, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Final word on judgment and healing. To make things new always requires getting rid of what is old, doesn't it? I've done quite a few renovations on my house over the years. Maybe you have too. Renovation always takes a view of saying, well, there's something definitely wrong here. Things need to be patched. Holes need to be mended. Paint needs to be applied. We have to do some renovation to bring it from a state of old, broken down, to new and fixed and livable. And so we apply ourselves to renovation. The same is true in our lives, but we have to admit, we have to judge it and say, there's some work that needs to be done here. We need to do something to bring it from this state to a better state. And so in that recognition, there comes to us the appeal of God to recognize our sin, to judge it as it is before a holy God, and say, indeed, it is wrong. And that's why in James 5, it says, confess your sins to one another. We have to judge ourselves and see ourselves not aright, that we can come before God and honestly recognize our brokenness, recognize that sin is dragging us away from God, not towards God. And in stating that and recognizing that, there is hope. There's a little quip of a 9th grade teacher giving an F to a student. The boy reacted with surprise by saying, "How come? How come?" And the teacher responded, "Well, you didn't pass a single test, you never turned in any homework, and you're absent for 3/4 of the class." The boy stood there in silence for a moment and then exclaimed, "And you mean you flunked me for that?" Recognition, judgment. It's necessary in our lives, isn't it? To be able to change from what is not working to that which transforms and makes it work and blesses us. Don't be caught off guard when God's judgment day comes and hits. If we judge ourselves aright and deal with our sin, God is gracious and merciful, and through the blood of Jesus Christ, promises us redemption and a work not only in body, but in spirit more so. Unless you are in Him, the blaze of the day will leave you with neither root nor branch, according to Malachi. If you are in Him, look ahead to the coming day. Should the source be a source of great comfort to you? The Son of Righteousness will in every way right the wrongs and bring eternal peace and joy, that you can be like a YouTube cow jumping for joy in the green pastures. If we judge what is wrong with the world and with me, we have room for God renovating's work in Jesus Christ and the healing that He promises for us and for the nations. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Amen and amen. Today we have opportunity to pray for you for healing, and we'd want to do just that. So I'm going to call Jim and Velma to come up and stand on my right, your left, and also Rick and Larry, they're going to be over here on my left. And then myself and my wife are going to be up here in the center. And we're going to offer you an opportunity to pray for healing. James 5 tells us that if we come to those that are in leadership in the church and ask them to anoint you with oil and to pray over you. So we offer you opportunity this morning to pray for those ones that will be coming forward. Pray that they will experience healing. Pray also for these things that are written here on our PowerPoint slide, for the conflict that's in our world today. Lots of news items we can be praying for today. Also your work that God has given to you, your family. Pray for healing and the proclamation of the gospel, that people know of these trees and the redemption tree of the Lord Jesus Christ, that if they but reach out and know and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and pick that fruit, they should indeed live and have eternal life. Let us enter into the kingdom's promises today. Today we enter in that transition phase, not fully realizing that full blessing of God, but even in this day that we can take part in pieces of it. And so we pray for ones that are going through physical, emotional, spiritual difficulty. Would you gather in twos or threes and pray over some of these things? And those of you that feel a desire to come forward and be anointed according to James 5, you're also welcome. Feel bold and courageous this morning. God is here present amongst His people. He promises us to be amongst us. He, the great shepherd, is for you, the sheep. Amen. Come, if you're so willing. Pray as you are so willing as well.
just want you, nothing else, nothing else, nothing else will do. I just want you, nothing else, nothing else, nothing else will do. I just want you, nothing else, nothing else, nothing else will do. I just want you, nothing else, nothing else, nothing else will do. I just want you, nothing else, nothing else, nothing else will do. I just want you, nothing else, nothing else, nothing else will do.
Let's stand together.
Upon your hearts this morning. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and has made us to be a kingdom and priest to serve his God and Father. To him be glory and power forever and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Thank you for joining us this morning here at Westwood Alliance Church. Have you take out your bulletins just for a few brief announcements this morning. Just remind you that we do have coffee time in our connections room, just to my left, to your right, down the hallway. Also, there's a financial report that's out in the foyer as well for you to read. I want to thank you for continuing to pray for our elders board. They are meeting this week on the Thursday. Remind you to pray for them, these men that gather together on an almost monthly, a bi-monthly time to serve us as the community of faith here at Westwood, to make decisions on our behalf. We need to continue to lift them up in prayer. So would you be reminded of that this week? Also today we have a carnival that's happening just off in our park. So from 1 o'clock to 8 o'clock p.m. today, put on by Vancouver, it's a long name, but it's a training center for reaching out with the gospel. Many churches here in the Tri-Cities are involved, as are we. There'll be stage performances by our own choir, and I believe it's at 6 o'clock that they're going to be presenting. So if you want to come and see some of the activity in the park, some of our interns are going to be involved with a booth that's set up, as well as our Cantonese and our Mandarin congregation have booths as well. So wander around in the park, see if you bump into anybody that you know, and also be in prayer for outreach. We're trying to be very present in our community, and part of that presence is just engaging people and showing them that church people are not, got two heads or really weird-looking or strange-looking people or strange-behaving people. It's just people that love God and want to be connected with other people in our community. So would you do that this afternoon even? Spend some time looking at going out to the carnival, bumping into a few people, saying hi, and just enjoying the beautiful Sunday that we have today. Also, you'll note that we have our Envision team is leaving for Cambodia in the month of July. Continue to pray for them and as they look to going. Ray Cha is going to be, Pastor Ray Cha, where is Pastor Ray? He's not here, but there's his good-looking wife over there. She's not going, but he's going. She's sending him. So do continue to remember to pray for Ray and, of course, the mother. The mother needs prayer as well. So pray for the family. Pray for those families that are going. Their names are here represented. Of those that will be going out to Cambodia to serve in way of proclaiming God's love to these people. So as they prepare, please do be in prayer for them. Also, our 25th anniversary stuff is happening. You'll see a table outside with some paraphernalia on it, a laptop. There's a cost involved for our October 5th anniversary celebration dinner, and we need you to buy tickets for that. So please go present yourself at the table and see the cost involved and pay for those tickets for that October 5th so you have a reserved seating for that event. We've been 25 years here at this location, and we want to thank you for all that you do in contributing to making Westwood a great place to worship and to be a part of, and we celebrate that in these 25 years. Also, you'll note that different pastors are going to be going away on holidays, and so we want to be reminding ourselves to pray for our pastors. And thank you so much again for those that allow me to go and be have a sabbatical, some rest time for myself. God's blessing as you go into your week. Do remember these things in way of prayer, as well as participate and be involved in them. So God bless you as you go into your week, and thank you again for being part of Westwood Alliance Church. God bless you as you go.
It's not one thing, it's a